All right, welcome to another edition of Bull in the Basement as we are very excited to kick off our Buffalo Music Hall of Fame series. And for those of you, by the way, if you're watching the Bull in the Basement podcast for the first time, let me explain to you what it's all about. This is a long form interview podcast where basically we talk to people who were either born and raised here and still live here or moved out of town or came through town, whatever. Somebody that is related to Buffalo one way or another, that in some way, shape, or form has influenced Buffalo in one way or another. I call it Buff-centric. So that's what we do here on the Bull in the Basement podcast. And they are all people with stories to tell, including our guests in our first installment of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame series brought to you by our friends at the Cantor Law Firm. Let's bring in Tony Casuccio, the board president, and Tom Lorenz, vice president of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, bmhof.org, their website. A big year, fellas, for the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame as we celebrate 40 years. But before we get into any of that, who's got the best hair this morning? It's a toss up. It's a toss up.
Mine's the old. I always think Tom has better hair.
Well, that's because it's the oldest. That's why. Yeah.
And we all have pretty darn good studios. I mean, I think they exemplify everything that we've done in our careers, have been a part of. So that's pretty cool. And I'm glad you guys are here. And I'm glad we could do this.
Thank
this
you.
Is so awesome because the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame has a story to tell. People that live here in Buffalo, believe it or not, still may be unaware that it even exists or who's in it or part of it. And that's why we're doing this, because it is so important to urge people to know about it, to get involved in it, to brag about the musical background of Western New York and in Buffalo in general. So let's introduce both of you and do it this way. Tony, first off, how did you get involved and what's your musical background?
You know, it's interesting. So because of my musical background, that's kind of what got me involved. So I grew up here in Buffalo. I was in New York City producing records for about 10 years, went to work for a Sony investment on the West Coast, got very involved with the Grammys when I was in California and sat on some nominating committees and became second vice president of the board of directors. And I loved being part of a musical organization, especially an organization that was doing more than just looking at music and talking about music. So when I moved back to Buffalo about 16, 17 years ago, I wanted to get involved with an organization. I looked around. A buddy of mine said, you should check out the Hall of Fame. So I got involved, did a lot of work, became secretary. And then the president at that time ended up leaving for some reason. And I moved in the vice president. I did that for a number of years. And then worked my way up as president. And, you know, so I've been president for quite a while, but I'm having a good time. Tom and I make a great team. We've got a really great board member, a group of board members who are really firing on all cylinders now, as we say. And we're excited to really, you know, change the perception that you're talking about with the community. We don't want to be a secret. That's not our goal. So that's what our goals. Like I said, I've done a lot on the West Coast. I've got a background of producing and engineering and writing songs and teaching. I'm also the chair at Villa Maria. And I'm just excited to be part of this organization.
Tom, the same question for you. I know you're in as an inductee. How did you get involved? And what is, for people that don't know, your musical background?
Well, I started playing guitar in 1957. And worked real hard at it. I mean, I actually went to my parents and said, I want to learn how to play the guitar. And I used to watch a fellow on the Lawrence Welk show. And that was kind of wow. My inspiration. Okay. But interestingly, where all my friends were playing sports, I kept practicing my guitar. And one evening, four lads from England appeared on the Ed Sullivan show. And from that moment on, I go, oh my gosh, I can do that stuff. And, next thing you know, everybody's knocking on my door. Hey, aren't you the kid that plays guitar? You know, you want to put a band together? And I've been playing music out ever since then and kind of almost nonstop till this day.
So talk about some of the bands you've played with, still play with today. Where can people see you perform if you're still out there?
Sure. Well, I had a group with my brother for many years, and we had the opportunity to be the opening act for people like Barbara Mandrell, Lee Greenwood, Reba McEntire. We went to Vegas and performed with the Osmonds at the Las Vegas Hilton. I then joined a group called Switch, which did a tribute to the Beatles, and we had a great run for 30 plus years doing Beatles shows, dressing up and doing all that. And interestingly, just a month ago, we were called by Tom Barone, who was managing the Trelf right here. And he said, we're going to be closing the doors for about 6, 7, 9 months to remodel the whole place. And we looked through our records and you guys have played here the longest. So he asked us to kind of reunite. We did a reunion and we had 2 sellout shows, April 1st and 2nd at the Trelf. So we're still at it, still having fun. And some of the things I've been doing through all these years, I got to meet up with some of the very original Rick James band members. I've done a lot of recording with them, Kenny Hawkins on guitar. We just lost our dear friend, Jerry Livingston, who was just a world-renowned bass player. And I do a lot with Kenny Kaufman and Bobby Jones. And so I'm surrounded with incredibly talented musicians, all Buffalo Music Hall of Famers too, I may say.
And by the way, you know, it's important to stress, not necessarily household names, but incredibly globally respected, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think I always like to say, and Anthony will agree with this, Buffalo's sort of a best kept secret. I mean, when you look back at the history of just music in general, some of the most popular songs ever written in the entire world were written by Buffalo artists. We kind of hold a record right now, the top 2 most performed songs of all times. One of them is written by Harold Arlen, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and the Goo Goo Dolls with their song Iris. So we're in that top 100 of all time hits. Buffalo artists, we had Ani DeFranco. We have Tommy Tedesco, who is the world's most recorded guitar player on over 1,000 number one hit songs.
That's incredible.
Yeah. God, I never knew that.
It blows our mind. And it is varied. It's from Frank Sinatra to the Monkees to the Beach Boys to Sonny and Cher to the Ventures. I mean, it just goes on and on. He was part of a group called the Wrecking Crew. And with him and Carol Kay and Hal Blaine, they're responsible for just hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. Tijuana Brass Band, Gary Lewis and the Playboys. And they would go into the studio and record 3 different acts every single day, 5 days a week for about a 25-year run.
It's really incredible stuff. I got to tell you, you know, people, when they think about Buffalo, you mentioned the Goo Goo Dolls, who do they think of? They think of, well, there's the Goos. You also mentioned Rick James. So they think of Rick the Goos. James, yeah. They think of Rick James. They, depending on who they are, might think maybe Talas, Billy Sheehan, and maybe the Shintas. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of stops there for most people, right?
Yes. So
that I always say on this podcast, 2 things are going to happen. You're going to laugh for sure. And you're going to learn for sure. I just learned in the last 5 minutes a wealth of musical knowledge that I knew nothing about, courtesy of you, Tom. Now, Tom, just for people that your last name is spelled just like Jim's, but no relationship, right? No relation between you and the Saber Great.
Right. We're supposedly distant cousins. Quick story in that. Our grandparents were both from Alsace-Lorraine, France and Germany border. Okay.
Oh, wow.
When the grandparents came over, there was 6 brothers. 3 came to the U.S., 3 went to Canada. So we are kind of the belief that we are somehow related, but they never got to meet each other after that until Jim came to Buffalo and became a Saber.
All right, so let's get over to Anthony. Talk for people that don't know about the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame. How many people are in? Is there an actual physical place where people can go see, like, other halls of fame, if you will?
Well, that's a great question. So we have probably around 350 inductees over the past 40 years. So, you know, we've been at this for a long time. You know, it was started in 82, 83. It's gone through a lot of iterations over the past 40 years. Again, but with the number one goal of honoring those musicians who've made an impact on the Western New York music scene or beyond, who are from Buffalo, who are doing things around the world. So, you know, that's really what the hall is about and what we want to do and honor these people. Do we have a place? We actually have a headquarters, which we've been in about 2 years now. We got in right before COVID hit. And we couldn't really do much during COVID, but we are part of this Music Town USA that Dwayne Hall of Sportsman's is trying to develop in Black Rock. So we're right next to the Sportsman's. We've got a physical location. It's our headquarters. It's not a museum. We are teaming up with the Greater Sports Hall of Fame and the Buffalo Broadcasters. We've been doing this for a lot of years. We started another entity, another nonprofit called the Buffalo Experience. And we've been up and down with different developers and different places. And, you know, COVID kind of set things back when we had something going on. But we're looking for a physical place to have a museum and an interactive educational experience that's going to honor the people in Buffalo in those three organizations and beyond.
Anthony, I know, you know, I've done some stuff with you guys and, you know, the one year I did a Hall of Fame ceremony and it was at the Hard Rock up in the Falls and there was a room back there and it had all kinds of relics, whether it be gold records or platinum records or, you know, outfits people wore, like you would see in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And that blew my mind. Just walking in through that tiny little space to see some of that stuff, I was like, couldn't believe it. I mean, and I'm sure like for people that have gone through there, they probably have sort of the same reaction.
Sure. Well, you know, all the women, they see Brian McKnight's pants and then they get all excited. But, you know, it's like Brian McKnight, again, from Buffalo. We've got the 10,000 Maniacs from Buffalo. Up in that area, you know, we had stuff from Billy Sheehan, Jesse Galante, like the people who've come from Buffalo and who've gone out and beyond and done amazing things. I mean, again, it's a huge list. Now, sure, they're not household names, not all of them, but there are more people than you think that you would recognize. You know, so we do see the need for a physical place to have artifacts. And of course, you know, we're not looking for just the guitars and the gold records. You know, as my friend Steve Cantor, who's the sponsor of the show today, says, you know, he's like, we want your report card. You know, we put the calling out to our inductees. Listen, you might have something from school or something that's just unique that's going to give people a glimpse into your life. And that's what fans want. You know, they see the gold records all the time. They want to know how you did in school. You know, they want to see the report card. So we're going to be putting the word out. We always are, now that we have a physical space, that we would like some artifacts, some unique artifacts.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, anytime I've gone through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I think is really interesting. I think you guys have sort of, I like your approach to this. You call it the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame. And I think a lot of people would like that to happen in Cleveland and call it the International Music Hall of Fame. It's just, because every year, the ceremony and the induction and the process goes through, that same question arises. Why rock and roll? What's the, I mean, Dolly Parton is in, and some people would say, well, what? She's a country act. Just saying. But that happens every single year when an R&B act goes in or a country act or fill in the blank, other than the air quotes rock and roll genre, you guys have sort of broadened the approach with your title to this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'll let Tom jump on this for a second, but I know that has been a big headline is, why is it rock and roll? I think rock and roll is changed since 55 when it first started. It's really an all-encompassing type of music now. You know, you've got rock and roll isn't heavy. It used to be heavy because, you know, or Elvis and stuff, but rock and roll, it's not. It's just an all-encompassing, I think, genre or title that centers on guitar or other things. But I don't know. I think you're right. I think they should change it to the International Music Hall of Fame. But our approach is, and I'll let Tom talk about our approach, is we look at everything.
Yeah, what I'd like to bring up is when we look at the word music, what does that involve? It's more than just notes on a piece of paper. We have an incredibly talented lady that got inducted last year, Edie Lehrman Bodecker. And that name probably doesn't ring a bell here to any of us just hearing this, but at 14, she was a concert pianist playing with philharmonic orchestras. She went on to be the lead actress for General Hospital for 15 years. And right now she works every day with Quincy Jones in the studio. She's a vocal coach and a vocal arranger. She just did Michael Bublé's latest Christmas album with 60 singers. She did Lady Gaga's latest album, Beyoncé's. So that's the people they're involved with working at this every day. We have Wayne Sharp, who writes movie scores. And what was really interesting is when he got inducted, he sent us a video clip of about six or seven of his movies that he wrote. And at the very end, you see this jet plane come flying through these two big high-rise buildings, turns on his side, and they get a close-up of the pilot in the cockpit, and pulls the helmet off and it's Tom Cruise. He goes, "Congratulations, Wayne." And he wrote the theme song for Top Gun.
Wow.
You know, I mean, we have this type of talent all around us. I just got off the phone just the other day with an upcoming inductee who's deceased, but we're going to go way back to the 30s. And I just want to tell you, who was at this gentleman's wedding? Bing Crosby, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Cab Calloway, Dizzy Gillespie. They were at the wedding, you know. So we have that scope of people, and we are looking again just beyond music or whether you wrote a song or what, but it's also the music industry. Okay, we have some of the best promoters and tour managers and people like that behind the scenes that need the same recognition as the artists that are out in front. We have a category called Sideman. And what that's dedicated to is those individuals that have spent their entire career backing somebody. They're in the background playing along, but the front person couldn't be who they are without that person behind them. And every successful, whether it's Elvis or anything, they had the Scotty Moore behind them or the Jim Burtons or somebody like that playing guitar and making them who they are. And we also recognize those individuals too.
Anthony, let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame and that it's not just about celebrating the musicians and the writers and the producers and the engineers and the promoters and the tour managers and all of that. There is more of that in terms of the mission, the outreach. You're a nonprofit group. You have all kinds of programs going on that support, you know, local musicians. So talk a little bit about sort of your mission and beyond.
Right. Well, so our mission is really to honor those musicians and non-musicians made of impact, but it's also to educate. And it's to educate the public on what's happened in Buffalo, but it's also to educate and support the up and coming musicians. So we have a couple different programs that we've done. We've got a student scholarship that we give out every year to seniors who are going into music. And I think, Tom, we've opened it up. It's any music, right? It's not just performance. It could be music business too, correct?
Correct. That's, yes, it is.
Okay. So we have that. We also have a scholarship that was given to us, and we have a contest with it from the Jack and Lucille Yellen Foundation. And again, Jack Yellen is, you know, someone who's, God, his songwriting is just legendary as well. So he was in Tin Pan Alley and friends with Harold Arlen and just, you know, again, his pedigree is incredible. So they give us a scholarship every year. We have different, I think we've had contests and I think we're doing something a little bit different this year, but you know, we've been taking the winners and bringing them into the studio and working on a song with the songwriter, or a couple of years we've had some bands as a whole, and they get to spend a day with Hall of Famers, honing their craft and honing their song and working with these great people and getting mentored and learning from the best. And so we've got programs like that. Tom, anything else you want to jump in? I know we've got the two programs.
Yeah, well, I'd like to share a little story there. When we had one very talented young lady, Lindsay Muntz, who won the scholarship for the Jack Yellen Foundation. And we brought her into the studio. And as we were talking and we brought in some studio players behind it, all Hall of Famers. And her dream is someday to meet Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls. Well, right during her recording session, she gets all done recording and who comes walking in and puts his arm around her shoulder and says, "Great job." And she turns up and there's Robbie standing there. So what a moment that was in time, you know, and it was just great. But you mentioned Jack Yellen. Imagine having written a song that was recorded by the Beatles, Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand. I want to say there was at least 12 major artists that recorded that song. And it was a song called Ain't She Sweet.
Wow.
Jack Yellen wrote that song.
Wow. You know, that is so awesome.
It goes on and on. And I want to say every day we learn something like this. It's an excitement because you're like, oh, I had no idea. And it's the behind the scene things that Anthony was mentioning earlier that are a little more important than some of the facts that, you know, a lot of us do know. But it's like, oh, I had no idea of this, or oh, this happened here, or so-and-so is, you know, doing this. Wow, you know. And that's what we want to bring out is our future when we get a museum or something like that together, that when you come in there, again, it's not just a gold album hanging on the wall, but this is the little path that they took, the people they met and the lives they've influenced along the way.
For sure. And you see, my gosh, you know, in terms of, you know, I mentioned Robbie, like the Music is Art Festival. I'm looking at the band listing for Porch Fest for, you know, May 21st, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. And I think there's like hundreds of bands playing on people's porches. I mean, music is alive and vibrant here in Western New York. I mean, you're seeing people like Neil Haskell, who's in you know, traveling with the Hamilton traveling cast. You're seeing people like the Cammy Clooney's out there and people that are on The Voice and singing shows, American Idol, that are from Buffalo and getting to that next level. So certainly music is alive and well here in Western New York, and with these kind of scholarship opportunities that you guys are providing, that helps out even more. And I've had the great fortune of, and oddly, so I don't have kids, and my niece and nephew have played in their school, you know, orchestras. So my niece and nephew act as my wife and I as kids, kind of, sort of. So we go to the band recitals or the band performances, rather. And I got to tell you, you go in there and as a guy who honestly wasn't very much looking forward to it, left very happy and very impressed with the talent level of so many of the kids that worked so hard on it, that maybe music isn't, you know, their next thing that they want to do or their future objective, but still, boy, they work on it so hard and they get to a really, really good, competitive, interesting level of that performance art. And it's something that I think everyone in Western New York should be grateful for and look forward to going forward. So, Tom, I'm going to go back to you again for this. You're an inductee into the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
To me, it's like the highest standard that I can achieve when your peers, the people that you've always looked up to in the music, especially the local music industry, have recognized you. I got in 2012. In my class was Sean McQuiller, and who's lead singer for Kool & the Gang. Al Hurry. I mean, we had some great people in that class. It was wonderful. And what's nice is we're all still friends. We get together, we do projects together, and but it was an honor that I'll never forget. I mean, just to have my whole family see that I got recognized by other people was a wonderful thing. And I will also say this, I was very fortunate that growing up, I came through an era, especially in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s, when you could play out and every nightclub had music 5-6 nights a week. I really feel for some of the young artists today that some of those venues don't exist. You know, it might be a Friday, Saturday here or there, but we would get booked at places like the Executive, the Three Coins, the Sheridan East Hotel, 6 nights a week for 3 months at a time. You know, it was great.
And there would be people there to watch. So let's talk. Both of you can answer this. And Anthony, I'll start with you first. So how would someone suggest a Buffalo musician or contributor to music for the Hall of Fame? I mean, is there a way that people would say, man, I know this man or woman who does fill in the blank and should be considered, their career speaks for itself, or here's their resume? How could people, perhaps, you know, if you're just a general everyday Joe that wants or thinks that they know of somebody that should be in the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, how can they go through with that process? And then beyond that, if that person gets to that next level, is there, you know, like a selection committee, and how are those submissions kind of vetted? And Anthony, yes, I'll start with you.
Two things. We do have a committee, and I'm going to let Tom talk about that because he's the chair of the committee. But I'd say if you have an interest of someone going in, or you want to nominate somebody, go to our website. I would say go to our website for two reasons. One, to learn about the pedigree that is in the Hall of Fame, so you can see where the bar is set and you can see who's going in. And then on our website, we have an application, and that's where you'd start. You'd fill out the application and follow the steps and turn that in. And I'm going to let Tom talk about more about that, but we need more than just the application. And Tom, I'll turn it over to you.
One of our challenges, excuse me, I got allergies today. One of our challenges is people will come up to us on the street and say, how come Joe Smith's not in the Hall of Fame? And we may respond by saying, gee, well, what can you tell us about it? Because it might not be a name that jumps out at us. Excuse me. like when we have Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls or some name like that. So the important thing is to put an application together. The application is posted on our website, and we need pertinent information, not just that, oh, he was a good piano player and he played around for the last 30 years. We need factual information. What did they do? What are their accomplishments? Who did they mentor? What are they doing now? Tell us about the highlights of their career. And then we have an entire team, and it's not just a nomination committee, but we've also invited, I call them our guests. They're guests that are helping us out. Dwayne Hall, Joe Botto, Ken Kaufman, that we're looking at if it's a jazz artist. Bobby Jones, help us on this person. Who is this person they're talking about? And that's made a big difference in being able to better critique and analyze these people, especially on a name we may not recognize or maybe deceased, so we don't know much about them because they passed away 30 years ago.
You know, and we encourage people to turn in as much information as possible. You know, the more that you can highlight the career of that individual you're nominating, the better it is. It gives the committee, you know, a better background, you know, even pictures, you know, pictures, CDs, newspaper articles, anything to help further your case. You don't just want to write things down on a piece of paper. We do need to have stuff that's verifiable. You know, we can't, hey, I play with this guy. No. Well, give us album credits, give us pictures. You know, you can't have too much information. We've had people who've turned in little books, and that's what we need. We want to make sure everything is legit, and then we can vet everything. And the easier you make it, the easier it is for the committee, you know, the better it's going to be for all involved.
All right, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, a misconception is sometimes people will submit something and they think that if they don't get in that year, that they're out. It has nothing to do with it. These files, they grow with us. We add things to it. And on an average, I would say it's usually a 3 to 5 year process before somebody's actually inducted after we've reviewed these things.
All right, let me ask you a very important question. Is there a Steve Tasker in Buffalo for the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame that people are why is this guy not in? Eligible for 15, 20 years. Why is this guy not in? Is there a Steve Tasker musically in Buffalo that he's been like right there, but just hasn't made the cut yet?
We have those. And just to give an example, there's over 225 names currently in our file that we're going through. We generally pick somewhere between 8 to 15 or 8 to 12 people a year. So it's tough to pick through all those. And when you have some really superstars out there, it's tough. It's tough to say somebody's got to be left out. But every year we got to leave out some greats, and it hurts us. But they're going to get in there eventually.
I'm sure.
You can't give out names, but there have been, but they eventually get in. So we'll leave it at that.
So let me ask you this. I lip synced the national anthem at a Blue Jays game, and I sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game live at a Bisons game. Do I qualify?
I think we need a little bit more.
Okay. Just, I had to ask. So it is the 40th anniversary of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame. So obviously it's a big year. Talk about, Anthony, some of the upcoming events you guys have planned.
So of course we're going to have our induction ceremony. We're not exactly sure the date yet. We're trying to solidify the venue. It's going to be a 2-day event. So there's going to be a dinner, and then the next night there's going to be a big concert. So we're excited about that. That's going to be sometime in October. We're asking people to come back to our website on a regular basis, because we'll be having some events throughout the year, or now till October. Our big one right now that we have on the books is going to be September 17th. We're going to be doing a concert, all-day event at Sportsman's Park. So that's September 17th. The time is probably going to be from like 2 to 8. And we'll have 5 bands that'll be announced very shortly. And again, those proceeds will go to the hall to help us with our venue. I'm sorry, to help us with our induction ceremony, as well as promote some of our scholarships and some of our other events. So that's pretty much what's going on. The 40th, though, it's going to be, we can't say too much yet until we have our official press conference in August. But as Tom and I would both agree, this class is going to be stellar. And we are so excited to unveil it. And once that happens, stay tuned, because we're just going to have a roller coaster of publicity and events promoting it.
As a journalist, I'm supposed to dig and try and get some hints. Any?
Steve Tasker.
Something I'd like to throw out there. If people are watching and listening, we really could use a major sponsor that would help us to bring in some of these guests that are going to be inducted. We always feel bad that, you know, some of them have to fly from California back to Buffalo and pick up their own expenses. But if somebody ever wants to kind of come in and underwrite some of our programs, boy, please get a hold of us, because we could desperately use that. I mean, none of us get paid a penny for anything we're doing. Every cent that comes in goes right back into these programs. So, but it would be a big help if we could do that, to call somebody and say, we're picking up your airfare, we got a hotel for you, come on in, you know?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that, for sure. And certainly, guys, they can get a hold of you through the website, I'm assuming, through bmhof.org, right?
Yes.
All right. bmhof.org.
Or BuffaloMusicHallOfFame.org as well, if that, whatever's easy to remember.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of different URLs that I'll point to the same site.
There's another thing, just a little history here. If somebody wants to go on our website, just click on inductees, and alphabetically, every inductee is listed there, and you'll see those 300 plus names. And then there's you click on their picture, and there's a nice bio that talks about each one of these artists, what they've done, their accomplishments. So it's a good little history lesson there, in case you want to find some of that stuff out.
For sure. That's an extension of this podcast, because we always say you learn something on this podcast. You're going to learn a hell of a lot watching or you know, taking a few minutes. And it's one of those things, actually, there's 300 names. It's one of those things, it's going to be like a Netflix series for you, right? Where you're like, all right, I'll go through 10 today, I'll go through 10 tomorrow, and then you won't be able to turn back, right? Now you're a full month, 30 times 10 is 300, right? Now you're a full month in the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame website to see how great the history is of musicians and everybody in the music world that has had something to do with here in Western New York. Social media, guys, is there places that people can find you on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams of the world?
Instagram, Twitter, and I think we just started a TikTok.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we're trying to stay with the times.
Facebook, we're really strong on Facebook too. That's where a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. And Twitter, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at my phone and what the exact handle is. But if you search Buffalo Music Hall of Fame on Instagram and Twitter, or just go to our Facebook page, it has all links to that. Like I do a lot on Twitter. So I follow the Hall of Fame more on Twitter than Facebook.
Tom, I can't wait for that choreographed dance routine you're going to do on TikTok. That should be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tom, take care of those allergies, my friend.
Oh, man, it's rough today.
Anything else before we go that you guys can add?
Not really, but we just thank you. Thank you for this. And again, we just want people to learn about these musicians and go to our website and learn more.
Yeah. Just another quick thing. Did you know that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came to Buffalo and said, this is where we would like to make our home? And Buffalo turned them down and they went to Ohio. So we had that opportunity, and they came to us because I want to think, if I'm not mistaken, the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame may be the oldest music hall of fame in the country right now. So Rochester came to us when they started theirs and asked for a lot of information on how to get off the ground, but we've been at it probably the longest.
Well, then I would say Buffalo rocks, Buffalo rocks, Buffalo rocks.
It does.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There you go, Cleveland.
Anyway, we'll get Drew Carey over here too.
Fantastic. Fellas, great to have you on.
Thank
first
you.
Installment.
Thank you for the invite. We really appreciate
of
it.
The Buffalo Thank Music you. Hall of Fame series. Thanks to Steve Cantor and the Cantor Law Firm for making it happen. BMHOF.org, BuffaloMusicHallOfFame.org, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, the TikTok. Get involved. It's their 40th anniversary. Find out the great history of Buffalo music through this. Anthony Casuccio, Tom Lorenz, guys, thanks so much. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bull in the Basement is on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. Watch it, like it, learn it, love it, subscribe, share, get people to see this, and get people educated on what the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame and certainly what Bull in the Basement's all about. Thanks again for everybody for
Two
watching.
There we
Enjoy.
Go. Okay.
All right, man.